Hi and hello and happy 4th of July, football fans. Your old pal Dave Damashek here with a note about today's DDFP. Just so you're aware, we're not talking a whole lot of pro football action. We're taking a break. The holiday begins here and now for us on the show. On the other side of that, of course, we will return to the hardcore talk as we get ready for 2015 kickoff, training camp, all the rest of that. If you want that, I encourage you, nay, demand that you go back and listen to our previous podcast from this week where we really dig in on the NFC South, the best running backs of the Super Bowl era, Amari Cooper with the sublime Nate Burleson, Bucky Brooks, and Handsome Hank. Also, I encourage you to check out the Around the NFL show, Move the Sticks, the fantasy show, to get your pro football talk and fix. Like I say, today, we're talking movies, talking about movie characters, a little bit of pro football, a little bit of NBA. Just want to give you a heads up, if you're seeking to get drunk on pigskin talk, this may not be the show for you. In fact, if you want to get drunk on the game called life, this is the show for you. Let's get to it.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Damashek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedamashek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek Football Program. Available as always on Stitcher, iTunes, and NFL.com.
S-H-E-K, Shaq, Shaq, Shaq.
That's right. Another reminder, NFL.com/Shaq. We have abandoned it, and we are returning to full focus on the homepage that is NFL.com, the man who programs all the stuff that you see up there, and on the side, kibitzes about pro football, specifically the Miami Dolphins, whenever it's his choice. He's their greatest fan, all the way from London, England. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank, he's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome, and happy Independence Day.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Did it.
Yeah.
I think we should play the rest of the way. We should play nothing but patriotic music.
Well, let's be honest. Actually, today, 200 and whatever years ago it is, you were still under British rule. So I think for now that the patriotic music should be British patriotic music. Maybe God Save the Queen. We could just keep that rolling in the background. Yeah.
Or God Save that own goal shot that the poor girl kicked into there.
That poor girl.
Yeah, it was a shame.
I don't care at all about soccer, and I care a little bit less about women's soccer, but I felt sorry for her.
Isn't the silver lining to that though that that women's soccer is not isn't significant in the UK, is it?
I mean, not in my mind, but like I say, I'm such a non-soccer fan, it wouldn't have made any impact on me whether it was or not, so I don't really know. I think the good news for women's soccer is that it's top of mind now, but not for the right reasons.
Well, I feel bad for that woman who kicked the ball into her own goal. And really, England, I saw a headline on ESPN, in fact, saying England finds out that football is a tough game or is a brutal game. And I don't know very much about it, but correct me if I'm wrong. England already knows that, don't they? Don't the fellas have heartbreaking losses?
Yeah,
aren't they renowned? Aren't they like the Cleveland Browns?
You're right. That's exactly
World Cup soccer.
That's their thing.
Have they ever won one? They must have.
They did win one that was in 1966 in England.
Oh, really?
They won it.
You must have had a great time.
That day will go down as one of the more memorable ones in my life.
I would think it wouldn't be so memorable after all the.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
So anyhow, and it it extends into American sports too, that these teams that you come to associate with pain are doing it once again. Witness what's happening to the New York Jets, as a for instance. There goes Sheldon Richardson. Is it too much to think in what figures to be a really rugged AFC East that they're now? I'm not going to say that they're doomed or anything, but this is not something that they needed to hear in what's going to be a touch-and-go situation this year.
Well, maybe, but, I mean, at least that's, you know, everyone's looked at their defensive line since they drafted Leonard Williams and said, wow, how are they going to possibly get everyone on the field at the same time? So at least they do have that depth at that position, and it'll, you know, in theory gives Leonard Williams a chance to bed in, you know, in his early in his rookie season where maybe they were hoping
to bring
him along slowly before. But, yeah, it's not. I mean, it's never good to lose a player of that.
Look who's glass half full today. Now, the Cleveland Cavaliers are doing their very best, you know, on the heels of a Cleveland Indians pitcher almost getting a no-hitter, two strikes, in fact, on the 27th batter, and he comes up short there. LeBron James is doing his best to pull Cleveland, the sports town, out of this never-ending cycle of sorrow and make them a contender. I think that they've done it. I think that they have now, in getting Kevin Love, have now made themselves into a team that is going to be in the finals every year for the next 4 or 5 years. How say you behind the glass there? Black tie.
I mean,
NBA, young Kobe, Chiefy, and so on. Tell us. Give us some knowledge here. There's nobody in the East that's going to contend with that team.
Real quick, England.
Unless Kevin Durant goes to the Wizards, then they become a scary team.
Fair enough. But England is, real quick, England is like the Browns if the Browns created football. Because, you know, that's the whole thing.
They kind of did.
Well, they kind of did.
Canton is where the Hall of Fame is. They're right. They're in the shadow just about of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And it must be sadly ironic for them to know that they're so close and yet so far.
And like the Browns had, you know, all their championships are, you know, back at the beginning of the NFL when basically they were playing against themselves, you know, themselves and a bunch of other teams. England at the time were like, we invented this game, let's not tell everyone else the rules totally, and then we got some wins at the front, but then actually when everyone catches up, and by the way, America is, you know, probably one or two World Cups away from being the strength that they will have just because of the gigantic number of athletes available.
So now you have Cleveland trying to reverse this curse. You know, obviously England will have to wait for the next World Cup to affect the change on the fella side, 3 years from now?
I don't see it happening, but yeah.
Well, the Cavaliers are trying to do something. And then on the other side of things, a long-standing beacon of success in pro sports in the U.S., the Los Angeles Lakers are in, weird waters for them, for any team. No one seems to want to go to them. It's so grim, it would appear that free agents would prefer to go to Milwaukee, which is in Wisconsin, handsome.
I know.
Where it gets
my
cold
Bucks
and snowy.
Play that.
Now, they do love their beer there.
Yes.
Milwaukee's one of the great places I've ever been. Just as handsome, when you go around Los Angeles, people with an inordinate number of people strike up conversations about show business because so many people work in show business out here. Or in D.C., people love talking about politics. They love their beer in Milwaukee.
That's what they want to talk to you about.
Well, the bars are just they're everywhere, and they're just marvelous. You know, they're your speed. I know what kind of bar you favor, handsome. And the time would be gay if we ever made it.
That's right. Let's see if we can.
But anyway,
find an excuse.
Who wants to go to Milwaukee? Is that not like joining LeBron in Cleveland, where the chances of winning are great? You're going to be behind the eight ball or behind those Cleveland Cavaliers. To opt to go to Milwaukee instead of coming to the Los Angeles Lakers tells you everything you need to know about what I've always said. These guys that are 25 years old.
It's not just the Lakers that, you know, that he passed on. You're talking about Greg Monroe. He also passed on the Knicks. I mean, it's a good young squad out there in Milwaukee. And it's getting,
I know, it's fine.
Not everyone's about the big city life, you know?
I hear you, but I do think that what I have said for a year, or in fact 2 years now, when people used to talk about how LeBron is going, he'll wind up in L.A. I mean, him joining Kobe, he'll love that. Why he wouldn't want to be in the big media market of L.A.? And I said, there's no way he's going to do it because Kobe is repellent as a teammate, one. And two, this tone-deaf approach of – what have I been telling you, Black Tie? This thing about, well, our tradition. Well, what player wouldn't want to be a part of our tradition? What 25-year-old cares? Yeah, they bring James Worthy. They drag 50-something-year-old James Worthy into the meeting, and 25-year-olds are supposed to swoon. I'm sure they think who's the old man? I don't know. I feel like I've seen him somewhere before. Who? This tone deaf approach to recruiting by leaning on, hey, you know what? We've won a lot of championships. Yeah, I was. I remember that. I was 11 watching you guys win one. It has no relevance at all to a guy who, you know, who is trying to win his own titles. Hey, you can be a part. You can play with Kobe Bryant. You know, Kobe. But yeah, Kobe, he's won a lot of titles. He'll take you under his wing. Seems like a creepo. Anyway, handsome, let's treat, as we always do, we steer things back to pro football.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you suppose? Because I, you know, listen, Kobe Bryant, I've gone on and on about it. Maybe even I ascend up to Mount Pius to make the point. I feel in the 21st century, it's antiquated to assume that people, that the only way to win is to be a bully. LeBron has shown that that's not the case,
right.
Although he has bullied his own head coach, I guess, a little bit. But, he seems like a fun guy
to
be.
It's about empowering the players. So he's going to have fun with the players, but the authority is who he doesn't have fun with.
Right. This thing, that bully mentality, like I always say, I wonder if Vince Lombardi and Bill Parcells and Bob Knight would do as well in 2015 as they used to do. Who do you think in the NFL, if you were a player, if you're a free agent, where would you want to go? You get to choose. What place do you think would be the best? What players would you like to join?
I think there's something exciting about what happens in Seattle. I think that's that would be a fun team to be a part of. But I don't know that Pete Carroll. I feel the same way I think as you about Russell Wilson. I'm not sure he's quite as exciting as let's keep this quiet from Black Tie, but I'm not sure I necessarily would want to hang out with him. You know where I would think would be fun is Carolina. Cam Newton, I think the kids say his swag is on fleek. And I would definitely think that would be fun. I'd like to hang out with Cam Newton, play with him. Is that right? Is that how I should say it, Black Tie?
I do think that's what the kids say, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, great.
What's that mean?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's one of the most delicious smelling stadiums on game day. The smokers with all the meats and everything. Oh, it's heaven. Although I think that would actually be a deterrent. That would be a bad thing for a player.
I would get, if I was playing, let's say I was a wide receiver and the reason I wanted to go there was to be with Cam, I could imagine myself, first weighing, I'm at like 270 pounds and I'm not going to be particularly effective. Maybe that's why they get those big guys, the Devin Funchess and Kelvin Benjamin, is so they can hide the weight on their long bodies.
Interesting thought. Yeah, I've talked to Jamal Charles about this, and I bring that up to name drop, but also to point out that Arrowhead is known for its great barbecue. And I've said, when you drive into the stadium, doesn't it smell delicious? And he confirmed, yes, it does. And I said, are you ever tempted to just pull over and just stop at a tail, just give me like a half of a pulled pork sandwich?
They would give him one, of course.
Of course.
Charles, they would be like, of course, have more.
I know. I think that would be a great thing.
What
I'd like to do that with somebody. Let's go, Jamal Charles, you and me, let's just get to the stadium early. We'll be against a bad team. When you're playing the Raiders or something.
You're going to eat a pregame meal. It doesn't matter whether you're eating
a
tailgate or from whatever the team's giving you.
Maybe we could get, the backup QB or somebody to join me. Let's take a spin around the tailgate.
You know what
the
issue would be with Jamal Charles is that he insists, I remember from when you took him in your sports car, he insists on eating lion.
Yeah, he likes
I'm not sure
lion.
How many people will be cooking some lion before the game.
Carolina, Black Tie, any thoughts? Where would you, as a free agent, everybody always says Miami. I don't go in necessarily. And by the way, the thing, I'd like to be an international star. The idea that you have to be in New York City or Los Angeles to achieve that is, again, that's terribly
no
antiquated. And apparently that's what the Lakers tried to sell LaMarcus Aldridge on, is we can raise your international profile. Yeah, everybody's got the internet now. We can do that from Milwaukee or from Charlotte or anywhere else.
I think I'm going to go to the hometown team where I was born.
Dome?
Atlanta, yeah. Matt Ryan's kind of blah. But the new coach, Dan Quinn, man, former Seahawks guy, he's fun. He was quoting Tupac the other day on Tupac's birthday. I think that would be a fun team. Roddy White's a fun guy. We've had on the show a couple of times. He likes to hang out.
So winning doesn't matter for you?
No, it does. But, just attractiveness, overall attractiveness. Atlanta's a fun city, man.
I don't think you're thinking like a big-ticket free agent. Let's say need to put more to it than this. This is you're going into your fifth year. You're playing well. And money is not going to be an issue. Teams will pay you handsomely to join their team. But you want a ring. Don't you want to chase a championship?
But that's a misconception a lot of times, I feel.
I know a lot of players don't care. I'm asking you. For me, because I'm a winner. That's the thing. I'd want to be with a winner. Black Tie doesn't care.
If I'm 23 or 24, I'm probably thinking more about just,
meeting girls
and stuff. Making a better name for myself, making more money, as opposed to just winning a title. I mean, I'd love to be able to do all three, but –
The first thing I would do, though, is make the list of places. Like, there's a place you want to end up, but there's also the places you want to be wined and dined. So I think New Orleans is on the list.
By
I
the way, kudos to you, handsome. DeAndre Jordan, a big-ticket free agent, is going around taking all the meetings, even though it seems it's down to two teams. He continues to take meetings with other teams. And I thought, why is he doing that? And I thought, aha, he's a Dave Dameshek football program listener. He has heard Handsome Hank talk about the fact that if you were a free agent, what would you do?
I would go and meet with as many teams as I possibly could and get some free dinners out of it. But I would make that list of where are the places I want. You know, I want to eat in New Orleans. I want to eat in New York. I think, you know, we've established that those are two good places. Probably San Francisco's got some pretty good food we could go find. I mean, I would I would make a list of seven places I have no intention of signing, but just where's the best food.
I would choose, since no one asked me my opinion, I'll share it with you.
Where would you go?
You just hit it, New Orleans, I think.
That's definitely on the list.
What would be better than living in New Orleans in autumn? You know, you can live wherever you want in the off season, but in autumn, that place, that region goes gaga for the Saints. They
really
love it. And, you know, in the Southeastern Conference neck of the U.S. of A., college football matters more than pro, but not New Orleans. That's the home of Tulane, and you know the Bayou Tigers are nearby in Baton Rouge, but the Saints are the iconic team in Louisiana. Although I guess LSU is still the bigger team. But anyway, the point is to get to eat that food, live that life. You're in contention. Sean Payton seems like a relatively cool guy. Seems pretty low key. I think that'd be a good situation. Because of hometown, of course, I'll consider Pittsburgh, because here's the virtue of a place like that. Same as Green Bay, Baltimore, it's true. I mean, there's something to be said for being the big fish in a smaller pond. Man, I'm telling you, I remember the amusement park in Pittsburgh is Kennywood Park. And I remember when it was one time I was there, the local weatherman, Joe DiNardo, was signing autographs there. The local weatherman on the ABC affiliate was signing autographs. And the line was 200 people long to get Joe DiNardo's autograph. Now imagine what it must be to be a Pittsburgh Steeler. If you're the Steelers, that walking down the street, that effect of everybody slapping you on the back and go get them and all that kind of stuff, that'd be a nice environment to be in.
That would
very
be
collegiate, I imagine.
I mean, on some levels, though, NFL players, that's not necessarily what they want, is to have a line 200 deep of people wanting their autograph. New Orleans reminds me, I was lucky several years ago, probably like 2008, when I was working in the UK office, MTV made a show about New Orleans and how the Saints were being part of the revitalization of the city after Hurricane Katrina. And we got an opportunity to follow players around, and they showed us their New Orleans. And Mike McKenzie, remember the corner who played for the Packers and then moved to the Saints, was our guide. Mike McKenzie,
the man who picked off, Matt Hasselbeck and ran it back in overtime.
Exactly. But Mike McKenzie, you know, he enjoyed a night out. He's from Trinidad and Tobago, but he'd grown up in Miami. The night before the game, I think I can tell this story now. Mike McKenzie went out and got as drunk as you can get. and he was a starting cornerback for the team. And we went to Emeralds Restaurant, famous restaurant in New Orleans. Mike McKenzie walks in. He's shown to the best table. There's, three or four of us with him. He orders shrimp. Then orders shrimp for dessert, and then orders shrimp to go. He loves shrimp. And then we went dancing at this place, and it is the night before the game, and everyone's like, Mike McKenzie's here. And it wasn't a surprise, like, oh my God, there's a Saints player here. It was the night before the game, it's 11 p.m., Mike McKenzie is, you know, a little red-eyed and floppy. But he's dancing in a club. At the end, we went home before Mike McKenzie went home.
I feel that New Orleans is also the kind of place where if you're in a local bar on the night before the game, that they'd cover for you.
Yes. There was no story about Mike McKenzie
out.
Yeah, we're in New Orleans. Of course he's having a good time.
Yeah, that would be good. I like that quite a bit. Winning's going to be a factor for me because I am a winner after all in black tie. Running off to Atlanta. That's where black ties go.
Well, hey, it's the all of Dallas, man. I like Dallas, too.
Well, see, now you're talking. Yeah. America's team. All right. Hey, we got a few. We got a bunch of things, and then we got to update. Handsome had a good idea the other day that we update or we provide now that we are just about exactly at the midway point of 2015, that we give you a half year preview of the Shecky Awards here. Of course, we do these in the last week of each calendar year. All the big issues, you know. The Academy Awards take care of the new movies, and the Grammys take care of the new music. And then we fill in all the rest, all the other things that deserve some accolades and attention. We deal with them, so we got to update you on that. But real quick, a few things. We've been getting some great mail of late. One thing of which, Handsome, let's open this up. All the way from Australia, please find wow, we haven't opened this. We got this a while ago, and it's just now reaching
a
us.
A food parcel.
Please find enclosed a gift pack each for each DDFP person, some Australian goodies. Wait a second. And for the ATNFL boys.
Let's not tell them. Let's not tell the ATL guys. Let's just eat it all ourselves.
I think we should, and here's why. Handsome, you brought ice cream to the Around the NFL boys during their show earlier
in the week.
And you brought yourself an ice cream as well, except that Tommy Ty behind the glass
ate my ice cream.
Thought that it was, well, oh, you have enough for me. I'm going to take this last one, and you're too much of a gentleman to say, no, no.
That did happen. But I don't, I'm happy to have, Tommy Ty needs it more than I do.
that vacuous belly needed some ice cream stat, apparently. So, all right, so these are for the ATN.
So what's in here?
I don't know.
Can we open it?
Up. One and for all, thank you for making the offseason bearable. Mac McDermott, please, P.S.,
ooh.
Really not sure if this junk food is available in the States. Sorry, Sheck, couldn't send fruit. Try and get a hold of a custard apple if you can.
This is nice. Apple. So we've got some, you know, remember last week or earlier this week I was talking about chocolate and how America has a problem making nice chocolate.
Ooh.
We've got some Cadbury's chocolate, which I should think the Australians, being a smart race, are probably using, normal chocolate rather than American style.
Listen, you had me at your pronunciation of chocolate.
Sorry, chocolate.
Chocolate.
We got some jerky. I don't think, can you get jerky in America?
Well, we can, but I don't know. Maybe they do something special. Maybe it's made out of
Australia's premium cuts, it says.
You don't know.
Beef jerky.
What are the, it could be a roux or whatever.
We've got some iced Vovo cookies.
I'm going to eat some of this, right?
Pink fondant, a strip of jammy raspberry topping, and a sprinkling of coconut. You know what that says to me? ATN.
Iced Vovo. I never even heard.
Oh, look at this licorice chocolate.
That's not
raspberry flavor with milk chocolate licorice. You know what that says to me? Chris Wessling.
Good for you, Wes.
Some snakes. Straight up, everyone. You know, every country, doesn't matter whether you've never been anywhere else. Jellied snakes is a thing that immediately people gravitate to if they're making candy.
Oh, yeah.
You're eating beef jerky now. I'm going to have
this. This says Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, I think that's something
and,
for the kids.
And his sister Oprah. Yeah, they'll love that right there. Should we bring this? Because we're going to a
more
Dodger
beef
game.
Jerky.
We're going to a Dodger game, you, me, and those ATN boys, where we will settle all hash. We're figuring it all out at the ball game. Should we bring these as gifts for them?
Well, yeah, we could do. Redskins.
Anyway.
I think that's
the part of the show where we start, like, eating into our audience.
I don't care. They like it. The audience seems
licorice,
to like
it. Mango licorice with white chocolate in. You know what that says? Mark Sessler.
Can you imagine listening to a podcast when you listen to your podcast working out or when you start just hearing the chomping and chewing?
I find it disgusting myself.
I think the sound effects are terrific. Then we've got some chips, some chicken-flavored chips and some other ones.
Anyway, listen.
And some party mix candies. Dinosaurs.
This is definitely the biggest gift bag we've ever gotten.
I would like to thank. Who was that from?
NJ Mac McDermott at IMWIS. You can drop him a line on Twitter and let him know that he is outdone.
Didn't you just give away his email address?
No, I gave away his Twitter handle.
Oh, okay.
So you can
Sorry.
Drop him a line and thank him for showing you up, rest of the Czech Republic.
Thanks, Mac.
And Handsome Devils and Black Sheep and so on. A couple more quick pieces of mail that I wanted to tend to. This is very exciting. I've got this on my doorstep yesterday. You tell me if this is a coincidence. I have long, when we do the Sheckies, it always comes up, that stuffing is delicious and should be a side dish that's offered year-round. Why is something so delicious limited to a plate once a year? Why don't I get stuffing? Is it, why everything? Macaroni and cheese. I can always get Brussels sprouts. I can always get my potatoes prepared in various fashions. Rice, sometimes brown rice. Sometimes rice with little chopped up pieces of carrots and peas in it. Why then don't I have stuffing as an option at every restaurant? Well, on my doorstep, there's a new restaurant called Goldie's right across the street from me. Right across the street, handsome.
There's a picture of a lovely old lady in there.
Yeah, I know. Well, that must be Goldie. Mm-hmm. And she has a restaurant that serves Thanksgiving dinner year-round. And, of course, you don't have Thanksgiving unless it's stuffing. It's right across the street.
Have you been
there? My prayers have been answered. No, I just opened, apparently.
I would be surprised. I mean, but you talk about this so much, though.
I would have
run across the road.
What a thrill.
Getting to look left and right.
I'm going to bring stuffing to the baseball game tomorrow for you and everybody else. What's more American than that? Also, another piece of mail I wanted to acknowledge, and I was late on this one, and I feel like a real heel for it. Ben Ginn dropped me a line. He's a big fan. He loved my old show with David Feeney, Daves of Thunder, the best podcast these 2 years have ever had the pleasure of hearing. No slight to you, handsome, or anyone else.
That's fine.
But he sent me, he likes the NFL pod, but you're at your best when you're with David Feeney. I didn't read that part. That's uncomfortable. Cut that. I don't want Hanson to hear that. But he says, so he drops me a line, this Ben Ginn does, and finishes it with his actual proper wedding invitation.
You're going to his wedding?
Well, I missed it. It was on June 5th.
But when did he send this to you?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Was it before June 5th?
I don't know. It went to the, I'm assuming it went to the front desk and somehow got lost in the shuffle, so I never got it.
You know what should happen?
It's in Maryland,
That shouldn't matter to you. This is a special day for Ben.
And Katie.
And Katie. If Ben wants you to come to his wedding, then here's what we should do, Ben. You should, I think people often, what is it called? Something that your vows. You reconfirm your vows.
Yes.
Obviously, a month is probably shorter time period than most people would do it, but I would advise you to have another, you know, wedding, pseudo wedding type of thing.
You know what?
And invite Dave to that one.
That's
in August.
You know what, Hansa? I mean, Black Tie Behind the Glass? Please make that so. Ben Ginn, let's have them. If nothing else,
let's
we'll have
them
do
them
it on Skype.
Let's get them on Skype.
I want them to, what is it called again? Redo your vows?
Something your vows.
Yeah, renew your vows.
Renew your vows.
I want them to, we have to do a vow renewal.
On Skype. I could act as the minister.
Can you?
Yeah, I can.
You're
ordained?
Oh, well, even if you're not, I don't really care. I kind of like the idea of Black Tie doing it.
Black Tie's so fed up with this conversation, he's taken his head.
I love it. That's what we're going to do. I want Ben Ginn and his new bride, Katie, to renew their vows.
What are you doing in here? Black Tie's entered the room. He's not normally allowed into the studio.
And speaking of which, when are we going to be speaking with Rickard Olsen already here, Black Tie, the man who made a bet based on my promise that the Houston Texans are going to win the AFC South? When he bet his friend that he will, if the Texans don't win, that he is going to run a marathon.
Black Tie, pull up a check. It's not like you do anything production-wise anyway. It wouldn't make any difference to this podcast if you sat in here or outside. There is nothing. Wait, just come in. Join.
Keep your mitts off the worms.
If you want the food,
the gummy
you're not worms. Having the worms. By the way, there's also in here, I've stored these away for myself, similar to gummy worms, there's gummy dinosaurs.
Gummy dinosaurs?
I mean, if
hold
you want to swap
phone.
With worms.
Yeah, all right, listen. Yeah, your children can have the snack. You just shut my mic off. What are you doing?
This is why he's not allowed in here.
Oh, Black Tie. Come on, man. Listen, so we'll take the party. It's the party mix is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's dinosaurs.
It's got some snakes in there as well.
Terrific. So, all right. So, yeah, Black Tie, I want you to get this Rickard Olsen on already. Here, I'm giving you the email right now.
I just say that was my bad because I'm in here in the studio chewing on some beef jerky.
I see.
And unlike you guys, I'm courteous, and I wanted to mute myself.
I muted myself when I was
so
chewing.
So I mistakenly muted Sheck's mic.
I don't. That's not my way.
It's unfortunate Nigel never sent us Tim Tams, not to be picky.
Tim Tams?
You've ever had a Tim Tam?
That's
a Tim Tam Slammer?
Treat?
Yeah, it's amazing. Probably my favorite treat out there.
Thank you, Tommy Tye.
I bet
for
some are already
on,
on the way to you, Tommy Tye.
All right, so, hey, here's the other thing. And by the way, if you haven't noticed 20 minutes in here, this is our holiday podcast. You know, this is to send you off into a happy Independence Day weekend, or maybe you're finishing it off now. So we're just jumping all over the place here. But, Handsome, something I wanted to ask you about is, you know, you heard the Ben Affleck news.
Yes. You know what? Interestingly enough, Super Bowl 48. Mm-hmm. I was on the field before the game talking to our old friend Warren Sapp. And Jennifer Garner Affleck, mm-hmm. and somehow her and Warren have some kind of connection. And he introduced me. Said, hey, he used to call me London for some reason. I don't know why. Hey, London, you've got to meet Jennifer. And but I was like, I don't know. I don't think I do have to. And he didn't explain why I had to meet her or to her why. So we had this very stilted, awkward moment together. And then she said, wait, you're British. You work for the NFL. And I said, yes. And she said, that's just weird. And that was my. But I feel like that could have. You know, maybe
then played, you cursed
her. Somewhat into her and Ben Affleck split.
You put a pox on her. Yeah. You know what? Dark days are coming your way for that crack lady.
I did the same thing, too, because that's the same Super Bowl. You asked Jennifer Garner, you know, who was the most handsome man in the world, right? Or who was the most handsome superhero?
Yes, I did ask her that.
I
interviewed her and Kevin Costner and Dennis Leary. And we covered.
Oh, sorry. What you asked there was who was more handsome, Tom Brady or Ben Affleck?
That's what the question was. And who did she say? Brady? She said Affleck.
I'd say Affleck.
I corrected her and told her it was Tom Brady. I told
her
Tom Brady
was
more handsome. I met Ben Affleck many, many, many years ago when I first moved out to L.A. I was in line. I don't remember how it all came to pass, but there was one of those typically Hollywoody kind of places with the velvet rope and the guy standing
open,
by.
Open for you, I'm
with
sure.
With the headset. No, he had the headset. Not a brawny guy at the door, rather a guy in a black suit with the black T-shirt underneath kind of guy, you know, and he had the headset on into this swank club. And I was there for some reason, and I don't remember how it came to be, but I was there with the first cast of Survivor, the original gang. And Jervis, I think, was the guy's name. The black guy. There was a good-looking little woman. There was the black guy, Jervis, and I can't remember the other guy. But anyway, so that was the gang. They all get into the club, and then they stop me and a couple other guys, and they say, sorry, we're all full. And I said, well, I'm not going to stand for this. And Jervis turned around and said, don't worry. I'm going to get you guys in. Just stay here. So we did. And about 10 minutes later, Ben Affleck walks out and with Jervis, again, you know, both big time celebrities, comes and he says, well, who are you talking about? Jervis points out me and the other guys. And he says, and Affleck says to the bouncer, I got to get these guys in here right here. And up comes the velvet rope. In we walk, and I said to Affleck, I was at the time, I was working at a cable sports trivia show.
Right.
And I said, listen, I understand how show business works. You know, one hand washes the other. Anytime you want a front row seat to Sports Geniuses, you just say the word. And Affleck looked at me, expressionless, then turned back and walked away. And that was our time together.
It sounds like a special moment.
Great story.
He's since gone on to be a great chum of Jimmy Kimmel, but I've never met him.
Was he famous before? There's like a, if you're ever watching college football, there's a duck that always says Affleck.
Yes.
Was he famous before that, or why does the duck say his name?
Ah, I see. You're attempting comedy.
No, it's not comedy. Why did what's
Affleck
that duck?
Is like some I don't
what
even
is
know
that
what
duck
it is.
For?
Isn't that a weird thing, the commercials? How many times? I wonder how many commercials
it always walks onto the screen
and
at
say,
the bottom of the screen.
That's a great question for people. Half the commercials you see, what is it that they're even shilling? I have no idea what Apple
is. Well, that's
does.
What I mean, because when they do it, and I really am being serious about this, it's also disassociated from anything. There's always a duck. It walks onto the bottom of the screen. It says Affleck, and then it walks off again. I have no idea what product it's selling.
I don't know, I don't know what Pinterest does either. And I don't know what FarmersOnly.com does. I know it pairs people up together.
And you want to meet, it's difficult if you're a farmer.
But how is it possible that they have enough money?
Wife.
But who has that? How many people? Is it all for people from rural areas?
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
Well, or maybe you want to meet a farmer. Maybe you're mired in the big city.
But the commercial show here in L.A.
getting to you.
But I see the commercials in Los Angeles.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe the concrete jungle's getting to you, and you fancy a life with a farmer husband or wife.
Let me tell you something. I think Black Tie will agree with me on this. This is one of our worst podcasts ever. Do you feel that way, Black Tie?
It's rangy, as you would
say. Oh, it is. Okay.
It's holiday rangy. It's kind of like when you're at home.
Aren't we going to do a check-in on, didn't we, like about 20 minutes ago, you said something about we should check in on the Sheckies.
We're going to do that, okay. But first I wanted to ask you this.
It's a real build-up.
It's the height of the movie, the action movies. Have you seen Mad Max, first of all?
I haven't seen Mad Max yet. I've seen Jurassic World.
Have you?
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it.
Did you? Mm-hmm. That still seems like a movie that, I mean, the classic, why would they possibly need to update the movie?
Well, I'll tell you why.
And make the exact same movie, because that's what it looks to be, at least.
Well, I'll tell you why. It's first of all, cinema's come a long way since then, so I watched it in 3D. And then the other day I wound up, I don't have any family at home at the moment, they've all gone back to England, so I wound up watching, this tells you a little bit about my weekends. I watched all three of the Jurassic parks back to back to back on TNT or something like that.
How horrific!
It wasn't that bad. Believe me, I had a couple beers for each one. I lay on the sofa. It was actually a pretty good, nice way to spend 11 hours.
I did the exact same thing 2 weekends ago. So the world and went back and watched your trilogy.
Those movies, especially the first one's still good, but the dinosaurs look terrible in them. In the movie theater with the 3D glasses on, watching the 3D thing, you're ducking the tail of the Tyrannosaurus or one of the Diplodocus or whatever. Diplodocus, I think you guys say.
Indominus Rex.
Indominus Rex is what...
Is that a real one, or did they make up...
They made up. The premise of Jurassic World is that they are now genetically modifying dinosaurs because the customers want bigger and scarier.
And more teeth.
And you'll never guess what happens.
Not at all.
Let's talk about this, because the guy in it, Chris Pratt, I don't need to see that, but I hear he is going to be Indiana Jones. There's Mad Max out now. There's, Ben Affleck made me think of this, is the new Batman, as you know, and so on. Oh, and I also saw Bill Simmons tweeting about John Wick. He's now jumped on the John Wick train. All this has, speaking of updating, we addressed this a couple or a few years ago. Who would be the action hero that's human now? Not somebody who is imbued with powers beyond those of a normal human being. Who would win the fight of all movie action heroes? Let me throw some names at you before. There's Martin Riggs. There's Jason Bourne. There's Indiana Jones. John Wick. Beatrix Kiddo. Batman. Daredevil.
Do they have any of that? So they don't have superpowers, but do they have any of the weapons? Do they have weapons?
Well, that's what we have to decide. Do they get their weapons?
Right.
Because if it's hand-to-hand, that's one thing, but I think you give them what they have.
If it's hand-to-hand, I think Jason Bourne probably has the edge on.
He's a number one seed.
He's a great fighter.
With their weapons or no? Because
I'm saying without weapons, just a hand-to-hand combat, like Black Tie had with Chris Wessling the other day in the podcast studio, I would say that would be Jason Bourne.
What happened? You had a
fisticuffs.
No, it was more verbal.
From what I heard from Dan Hansis, it almost came to fisticuffs.
Is that true?
Not at all. Fabricated.
Have you had more cross conversation with him or with me? You and Wes had it worse than you and I've had it?
No, it was just Twitter talk. That's tweef. That's all it was.
Tweef.
That's all it was.
You're a grown man.
That's the guy I don't really get along with. That Mark guy. The Sizzler, as Dan calls him. But either way, I think definitely Jason Bourne's the number one seed. This is not part of a movie, but man, you got to throw Jack Bauer in there. And I know neither of you guys have seen
it. Don't start. Why do you have to immediately
mix it up?
It's because
there's so many names to choose from, and you immediately have to start with one that is not in the proper category.
Because people of this generation, more so, you got to throw Jack Bauer in there. One of the JBs.
I'm behind the glass. Go ahead, Tommy Ty. After all that, I think Jason Bourne could kill Batman.
McGinnis and I have a name that y'all haven't mentioned.
Go ahead.
Rambo.
Rambo.
Rambo. Put him on there.
Yeah. Put him on the board.
Mm-hmm. Who else are we missing? What was Schwarzenegger's character in Predator?
Whoa. That's a good one.
I'm ashamed to say I can't summon his name on my own.
I know, because
I'm going to go.
I mean, we don't need, like, Rocky Balboa.
Would Bond know? Is, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, I would, I think Bond versus Bourne could be a pretty.
Dutch Schaefer.
Daniel Craig's Bond kills
Major
Roger
Alan
Moore.
Dutch Schaefer is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Dutch. Yeah, Dutch. That's right, Dutch. Yeah, Dutch Schaefer. Do we have everybody? I just want to make sure we're not missing somebody, because I do think that it, unless you're being nostalgic, like Gary Cooper in High Noon ain't keeping up. You
no,
know, you know, I nobody loved Lone Ranger more than I did when I was a little kid. But Lone Ranger.
Well,
also,
here's the thing about those guys.
Let
me tell you one thing about those guys that people don't realize: they're always sitting on a horse. They're sitting down all day. It's like being behind a desk. Mm. There's no fitness involved. They get 3 minutes into the fight.
Shame on you, because Lone Ranger always there'd be one bad guy who would get away. And he would jump on his horse and try to ride out of trouble away from Lone Ranger.
I got a couple names for you.
And Tonto would take care of whatever. He'd settle the remaining hash, at the battle scene. But Lone Ranger would jump on Silver, and he would chase the bad guy. And he inevitably would have to jump off of Silver and onto the back of the other guy, pull him off his horse, and then give him what for.
I get that, but you know what I mean is he's not running after the bad guy.
No, you're right.
Where Jason Bourne, James Bond, Batman, those guys can run all day.
I'll give you a guy that walks after bad guys and wins. Dirty Harry. I mean, the guy's.
Yeah, but he's got. His thing, you disarm him, and then what's he going
to
do?
And by the way, Dirty Harry wouldn't even be able to keep pace with Martin Riggs.
What about Paul Kersey, the guy from Death Wish, Charles Bronson?
No, see, that's what I'm telling you.
I don't think you're listening to what I'm telling you. Those guys are great.
They're great, but I'm also telling you that if you're going for...
They're not going to beat Rambo in a hand-to-hand combat.
I'm talking about cops. You're talking about cops that walk on the edge and maybe sometimes go across that line. Martin Riggs would take down Dirty Harry.
I got a couple, though.
He would. We've seen him fight. Do you remember what he... Did you see what he did to Busey at the end of that picture? He knows. Talk about hand-to-hand. He's no stranger. Don't sleep on Martin Riggs. Just because he's LAPD now doesn't mean that his history doesn't indicate that he can't handle himself.
Is John McClane on your list?
He
Officer John McClane. I mean, he's a guy that you don't mess with.
I'll tell you what's a great fight.
I think Riggs versus McClane could be fun.
And the winner of that one gets Dr. Jones, Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones, come on.
If Dr. Jones gets his whip...
Come on.
If Indiana Jones gets to bring the whip, then what are you talking about?
Then everyone has to have their weapons.
I think everybody gets their weapons.
But some people have guns. I mean, in fact, Dr. Jones proved that to us. Remember that fight he has in the marketplace where he pulls out, he abandons the whip and pulls out the gun and just shoots the guy.
Wow. I got a couple of new school.
Wait. Handsome's giving me a lot to think about here.
All right, well, while you're thinking about that, how about this? Liam Neeson's character in The Taken.
Ooh. He doesn't take any.
Okay. He's an old man.
He's at least a two seat, if not a one. And then also, let's see.
Except that he's old. I'll take John Wick over him.
Not
that old.
Hey, 60-ish, right?
You know, I watched Taken 3.
Oh, you did?
Totally unnecessary for them to make that
movie. What, you
watched 2? Yeah, I watched 2.
His name is Brian Mills, by the way.
Your life is officially
rudderless.
It's rudderless when your children and wife are out of town.
No, I watched that one on an airplane.
Please.
That's when you're held captive.
Pick up a book. I mean, I rarely, if ever, give
that's
that kind
I'm so
of advice.
Excited about,
I don't know what else to tell
this
you.
This is why I'm so excited about going
what
to
about
baseball.
The Boondock Saints?
I've never seen that, Boondock Saints.
They're great.
Well, see, like, yeah, I don't want to.
But you take away their weapons, and they're kind of.
Well, what are we going to do? The critical issue that we must resolve is, listen. Beatrix Kiddo needs that sword. Well, she doesn't have to have it because she can be effective without it. But if you don't give the guys their guns...
Well, but remember, the guys who fight with guns, I'm thinking for the most part, and I don't think that Tommy Tai's right in that we should have Dirty Harry in there. The guys who fight with guns, Bond, Bourne, those type of guys, they also have hand-to-hand combat skills. But,
well, Philo Beto, Dirty Harry, played by Clint Eastwood. Clint Eastwood also plays Philo Beto in Any Which Way But Loose. I think, he likes the bare knuckle
fisticuffs.
Yeah, I still don't. I mean, he couldn't hang.
I don't think he's in
Jason Bourne. I mean, Jason Bourne would shame him. Do we put...
I think no guns, but if you've got a whip or you've got, you know, you want to bring a knife, because people with knives can be... Like, I'm not talking about a big sword. I'm just talking about a knife. They can be disarmed by operators like Bourne.
We got another one. Arlie Swagger from Shooter.
I don't even know. What do you...
Or that? Bob Lee Swagger.
You're talking about Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg. The dude is an absolute monster. Like, he can't be stopped in that movie.
Jason Statham. I haven't watched many of his movies.
Oh,
but
yeah.
He has
Transporter.
But when he shows up, he tends to fight pretty. Yeah. You know, he fights dirty.
How
as
about
well,
the Rock? The Rock's character in Fast and Furious, Hobbs. He's more or less.
Do you know? I've never seen.
Or Never Walk Tall. Or what is that? Walking Tall.
I've never seen any of those Fast and Furious pictures.
That's terrible. They're awesome.
They're not up your alley. I wouldn't say.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Well, it's just you would. I feel like you
too highbrow.
Snob you are exactly. You're gonna.
All right. So, I think I'm gonna stand by my original thought. I think James Bond, even if without the gun, I do feel bad, but I do think you need to let Beatrix have her.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that's fine because I don't see her getting past either of the guys without the.
Jason Bourne is my final vote.
He wins the whole thing.
You think so? Okay, good. I'm glad.
Don't you think he's like Bond, but it's actually a little bit like the British Empire. And I'm reading a book about MI5 and MI6. Obviously, in fact, Ian Fleming's a part of it.
There you go.
He worked there.
Good for you.
I am reading a book at the same time. It's a very good book, but. It's interesting. Like, the Americans came during the Second World War and came and learned about the art of spycraft from MI5 and MI6. See, the beginnings of the CIA, they came and learned. And then 20 years later, they'd overtaken MI5 and MI6. I think similarly, James Bond, obviously Fleming, was part of that. That time, he was, you know, the character that he was based on is essentially the world's best spy. And Jason Bourne showed up and is better at his job than James Bond is. James Bond is definitely a second-class citizen.
Daniel Craig's James Bond would lose to Jason Bourne, you think? Here's the thing about Jason Bourne that you have to factor in. Whereas, who's Batman beating up? The Joker? Two-Face? Come on with that's not worthy competition. I say all the time, and I'm going to say it again to you now.
He beat Bane up.
Superman. Okay, now.
Bane is an... I agree with you on the other ones, but Bane is an actual worthy...
Now you're talking. See, now you make me think about Batman a little bit.
By the way, that was one of probably the best fight scenes ever in a superhero movie. The very first Bane versus Batman fight in Dark Knight Rises.
When he breaks his back.
I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit... Or your body.
The best fight.
Boy, that's a little rusty. My Bane.
Everything from the dialogue to choreography was fantastic.
Now is not the time for fear.
Thank you. The Batman, but the thing about Jason Bourne is, the thing I've said many times about Superman is, you are people who like Superman. If he's your favorite superhero, then I'm willing to bet that you also are a New York Yankees fan and you like all the teams that win all the time because Superman is made out of steel and he's faster than a speeding bullet and he shoots lasers out of his eyes and his chief rival is a middle-aged bald man who's smart. And people are supposed to swoon that he defeats him. Whoa, he beat the bald guy again. Oh, awesome stuff, Superman. What are you rooting for, you know? Don't you wonder? It's the same thing. Okay, I mean, I should say the converse of that is Jason Bourne is a regular-sized fella, but when he fights, he's fighting other trained killers. The only time he fights is when the... 8 or 10 other human beings who might be able to kill him are fighting him.
Otherwise, there'll be like a policeman that tries to stop him, and literally less than a second later, he's on the ground unconscious.
He does that casual neck move on him and snaps their neck, and their life's over. The oh yeah, oh you're just a regular, old cop. Good day, you're dead. Yeah, that's what he does. What's that?
Did you just say good day?
Good day. Good day. That's it. That's what he does to them.
We've settled this.
Do we all agree? You know what, though? The one who might be able to beat him is Beatrix Kiddo. That's, of all these names, I think she's the one think about, again, by applying the same standard that I just applied to Jason Bourne and who he's defeating.
You're right.
Who's she killing? The other best killers in the world.
Yeah, that's true.
And she doesn't lose to any of them. You think, she's like, well, we're all even. Well. You would think she would eventually lose to one of them. But no, she defeats all, including her lover slash mentor.
Yes.
Spoiler alert. I feel like there needs to be a class, though. Like, because, like, her and Batman, I feel like they're almost in the a little bit more heightened reality, fantasized type reality, as opposed to Jason Bourne versus James Bond. I feel like they're two different classes we're talking about here.
I hear what you're getting at. I
think that's too sophisticated for this.
And what are we going to do about Daredevil? First of all, Daredevil fights Batman.
He's a superhero.
And what does it mean, too, if Jason... You know what they should do, in fact? I hope Hollywood's listening right now.
Have you seen Daredevil on Netflix?
What I want to do is I hear they're making a Jason Bourne remake.
They are.
What if they did this?
Not a remake.
What if...
Well, another
Batman,
one with that guy, with Jeremy...
No, Jeremy Renner, with Damon.
Jason
He's
Moore.
Back again, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, terrific. Listen, all three of those pictures are dynamite.
The other one is not so good.
I didn't mind the Jeremy Renner one.
It was fine, but it didn't have the same...
Panache.
I didn't like it as much.
I watched it this last time, not this previous time. The last time I went to Nigeria, I started watching it. Still haven't... I'm not done watching it yet.
So I would say, though, that Jason Bourne... played by Matt Damon v. Ben Affleck's Batman. What if that, you know, after Affleck beats Superman, I don't know if he does, but Batman v. Superman, if Batman beats him, what about Jason Bourne comes in and then fights Batman?
Batman v. Bourne.
And it's Matt Damon v. Ben Affleck. Now we need the Good Will Hunting reboot. Finally, a reason to make a long-awaited rev. None of this Jurassic World nonsense. Let's see these two go head-to-head. And it turns out, where did you go? We were working on at the site, you know, and I know I always said, I wish I'd come to pick you up and you wouldn't be there and you would have left, but I didn't know you would take that literally, Good Will Hunting. And he'll say, like, yeah, Good Will Hunting, you don't have to call me Will anymore because my real name is Batman. And then they have a he'd say, I'm Jason Bourne, right?
Okay,
but you don't know because Jason Bourne is not his real name. Well, Jason Bourne, his real backstory, he could have just been a construction site worker who got brainwashed and turned into Jason Bourne.
You know, about 30 minutes ago, he asked if this was the worst show we've ever done.
Yes,
definitely the wackiest show we've ever done.
You're wacky.
I didn't
All right,
know
let's update.
Right
so there wacky. We go. Any? How are we going to pay this off? Do we want to open it up to the Czech Republic here?
Hashtag DDFP, let us know.
Who wins that bout? Is there more meat on his bone? Do we need to continue this out?
Ask it on social media. You can put that question out there and ask the fans.
And we got to ask Nate Burleson and Michael Robinson and Ike Taylor and AJ Hawk. We got to get that gang together already here.
Hey, I've got exciting news as well.
Lay it on
Did you know that...
You're quilting.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know. You're doing all these weird things when your family's away just to bide your time. I don't know what else you're doing.
No, I noticed the other day we have a big board in the newsroom at NFL Network.
I'm doing watercolors now. Have you seen my series on ships? Go ahead.
I was going to paint the baseball game tomorrow.
I am thinking of picking
I love I am you with your easel.
No, we
have a musical instrument, though.
We have, that's not, it'd be a good look for you. The flute or something like
no,
that.
No, I used to play the violin, so I think I'm going to go back to that.
Really?
Oh.
If you can't, here's one thing about the violin. If you can't play the violin, there's no, you know, like, you can't make a bad sound on a piano. You can make a sound that doesn't sound organized, but you can't make a bad sound. Some instruments, you just can't play them, but a string instrument, a violin, cello, you can make the worst sound on earth. If you don't know how to play one of those things. I remember my sister learned how
that
to
That sounds
play.
Like a challenge, Black Tie.
That's why I want to do it. It's a project.
My sister started playing the violin when I was younger, obviously. And I forced her to stop because the sound was so terrible. I may have derailed what could have been a promising musical career because the sound that she was making at the time, 2 or 3 weeks into violining,
you shamed her.
Awful.
I watched Whiplash last night, and I don't really love that. Talk about a bully.
That's
mentality doesn't work in the 21st century. That movie indicates that that's exactly what it takes to bring out true genius and so on and so forth, which I don't necessarily agree with, but so you're the opposite of the guy in Whiplash.
I haven't seen it. But
you haven't?
It's great.
But what I was going to say is nothing to do with painting or music, is that Jarvis Landry of the Miami Dolphins and Greg Jennings of the Miami Dolphins are both coming in to be on the DDFP in a couple of weeks' time.
I know.
You know
very
that.
Excited about that. Yeah, I know. I just found out about that.
I just found out about it, too. I'm pretty excited about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it really, I'm going to let you steer things. I'm going to be along for the ride, but I want
oh,
you
yeah,
to
I,
have your time.
I totally booked that just for Hank. That's going to be a one-on-one.
You didn't totally book it in any way whatsoever.
Oh, I did.
No. By the way, great stuff from Nate Burleson and Bucky Brooks on our last podcast. Specifically, we had
the last real NFL podcast.
Good conversation and rangy conversation, but specifically, Raiders fans will enjoy hearing their thoughts on what Amari Cooper's going to do. Not well down the line, but in 2015, he's going to take off. So says two guys, and Nate Burleson is somebody to listen to. He played with Randy Moss and Calvin Johnson, so if he sees something special in a wide receiver, it's worth paying attention to.
Real quick, can I just shed some light on why I wanted to go back to the violin? So I used to play when I was like 8. Simply because the girl I liked at the time was also taking music lessons, so that was my way to like spend more time with her. And then she left our school, and then I quit violin class, and I've felt bad ever since.
Break out the violin. That's all I can tell you. I can't wait to hear Black Tie play the violin. All right, let's round things out here and let everybody go for their holiday fun here, and give everybody the update that they need. Handsome, first of all, looking back at some of the things we've done, what beast have you enjoyed eating the most in 2015?
So I'm talking about being home alone. I wouldn't say I'm a great cook, but I'm capable of cooking things. One of the things that
you make delicious
treacle
cake.
Tart. Oh, yep. Treacle tart,
yeah. I feel like Hank alone has home alone is like a segment that needs to be brought to life. Just
that's
put
a good
camera
idea.
Here, a little fisheye camera. Just
yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be that interesting.
Yeah, that's a
but
point.
But I've been cooking the last 2 weeks or however long I've been there.
Jazzercising.
I've been cooking a lot of salmon.
I knew jazzercise.
You know what?
Richard Simmons, I put him on. I take off my drawers.
I will tell you a true story. You're not far off the truth. I've had a bad back for a while, and I've been going to something to physical therapy, and they've got me doing planks.
Oh yeah,
planks. I had no idea. Planks are difficult to do. It's your body shakes. You know when you're exercising too much and your body shakes. After like 3 seconds of doing a plank, my entire body is shaking.
Think it'll hold a plank longer than Damashek?
Oh yeah, definitely.
We should try it out.
No doubt about it.
I haven't been doing them? It's not a fair competition.
I can do it for like 9 seconds or so.
I just got my go ahead, please.
And so, but you know, sometimes because I'm at home and things work out that way, we'll occasionally do a naked plank.
Well, that's not really a proper plank then. You're getting support in the middle.
Maybe you would, but I'm not.
Oh, I would.
God, let's move on.
Oh, I would. And how? Listen, you know what I got? My belly is now. I in the last couple of weeks, we shoot here in Studio 66. And the cameras are always rolling. I've noticed disturbingly, I mean, I'm always a little bit jowly, but the pot belly is really getting out of hand as I chew some beef jerky. So I got myself one of those things, those wheels with the handles on the other, on either
you
side.
What, they're advertised
on TV.
You roll
it out. Yeah, you roll it out in front of you and then you pull it
How's
back.
How's that working for you?
Great.
Your gut.
I did it once. I've only done it once. I just did it yesterday. But let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts really bad.
Supposed to hurt. That's the best feeling in the world, though, after that workout.
I'm sore from right under my rib cage, literally, directly under my rib cage, all the way down to my
belly.
Unmentionable area. Yeah. It's real. I mean, so if I keep doing it, I think
if
I'll...
If you and I keep working out like this, we're going to be...
Look out.
Beach buddies.
That's really not going to help, though. It's more about diet when it comes to that region of the body.
Thank you. You're 22 years old. What do you know about what it's going to take?
It's not going to take some rollout wheels to fix all that. All
right, handsome. What kind of beast have you enjoyed eating?
Oh, well, that's what I was just trying to say, is I've cooked a lot of salmon for myself.
Oh.
I like grilling some salmon. I put this nice glaze on top of it and, you know, get some edamame beans. Do you like those?
I like them very much,
And some kale or spinach or something like that. It's a delicious meal. So I'm going to say salmon.
I feel like you should let people know, like first-time listeners, exactly what the Shekies are and just give them a little brief intro.
I did at the top there. I did. Thanks for listening. Yeah, I said.
I was focused on this beef jerky.
We give out all the awards for all manner of categories. I'm going to go with so far in 2015, but there's a lot of time left here. Certainly, this is a category best beast to eat is really gains momentum as you get deeper into autumn, as you start tailgating, you start breaking out more beef and swine. And then when the holidays come around, obviously turkeys and hams and burgers and steaks and so on are ubiquitous. So there's a lot of room left here for this, but I've been going to a place lately in the valley that has crab legs, and it's Ooh. And it's made me wild. I mean, it's summertime, so I've been eating a lot of the Old Bay seasoned crabs and stuff like that, and get the spice all over my lip. And then it's maybe the best beer drinking food there is.
It is.
Lips get all spiced.
Remember,
up,
we went to that to eat some crab together in Chicago. Drank a few beers. You may not remember at all, but I do.
They had Michelob on draft.
They did.
It was great. We just and there was those like old style like 10 ounce glasses that you get in old style taverns.
Yeah, it was great. And it was in Chicago.
The half shell.
We had a great time there, and amazingly, I mean, you'd think you'd imagine it might be like this in your head, but you wouldn't actually believe it really was like this. On TV, on the sports channel, all they did was show 85 Bears documentary just over and over again. And this was actual real TV. Like, this was what was going on. The Bears were about to play. The 2014 Bears were about to play the next night. Didn't matter. Just let's re-rack the 85 Bears stuff.
Ah, it was a glorious night. It really was.
Not a huge crab legs fan, though. Too much work. Nah, I like working for my food.
It's great pleasure.
So I like drumsticks.
I don't like, that's why I dislike the pomegranate. It's not enough payoff for me. That's why I listen. If you're worth it,
crab, you're worth it.
It's still too much work.
I don't know who you think you are, pomegranate, though, making me toil to get what? Your little precious seed? That not for me. No,
so
thank you.
How do you feel about those baseball seeds? I forget what they call them.
Sunflower seeds.
Yeah, sunflower seeds not worth it.
There's nothing in there, you know. What am I? I'm digging through everything now. A peanut at the ball game. We're gonna get some peanuts.
Yeah,
those are good. See, that's worthwhile.
I'm looking forward to, but most about our trip to the ball game, as you say, is learning. Like, what do you do at the ball game?
Oh, you know what we'll do? We're gonna play the home run game. You know, a lot of people like to play mound ball. I used to play mound ball a lot too at Wrigley Field. In my 20s, my chums and I would mound ball is at the end of every half inning, whoever catches the final out, usually it's the first baseman or the catcher, they roll the ball, whoever it is, rolls the ball at the mound. And if it stays on the mound, now, of course, it's slope, so the ball doesn't generally stay on the mound. But if it does, the person who is holding the hat at the time that is filled with money gets it. That's mound ball. I don't like that one as much. I like home run ball, so you get your gang and everybody puts a dollar in per batter. So you batter got an out, put a dollar and pass it to the next guy. When there's a home run, who's ever
everyone
holding
gets
the hat,
all the money.
No, yeah, the guy holding
that's
the hat
exciting.
Gets the money.
Yeah, that's what.
So that's what we're gonna do.
I like that game.
That's one of the things that we will do. Speaking of baseball, because it's a factor in the Sonic Award, every year we give out the Sonic Award. This goes to the sports fan who is suffering the most because of the sports town in which they live. Where's the worst place to be a sports fan in a given year? New York City has won it. It's not like you can only win it. You know, Cleveland has won it more than anyone else. I wish I had in front of me all the cities that have won it recently. Pittsburgh won it once. Atlanta is usually in the running for it. You know, tough losses, painful losses, so on and so forth. Who do you think is in the front? Is at the front of that right now? I have St. Louis has a chance of doing it. If they lose the Rams, the Blues went out early. The Cardinals are having, they're a good team, but that St. Louis is definitely in the running. Who else you got there?
I mean, Cleveland is probably up there. I watched the basketball. They didn't win the final. They've got the Browns still.
Yeah, that's a good
San Diego. I mean, same thing could go for the Chargers and Raiders if they were to move to LA as well.
Yeah, well, except that Oakland just got the NBA title, so they're out of the running that one. So we'll have to. And Chicago just won a Stanley Cup, so they're out of the mix there. What about Miami? Marlins, Panthers, Heat. If the Dolphins aren't good this year, if they end up going under, they might not do it. Fruit. What fruit have you enjoyed so far this year?
This is not difficult for me. White peach has already locked this category up for me.
Yeah, white peaches have been delicious. Shame the devil, though, if you wrap it up. The red grape has been outstanding so far this year. And we'll see if it can continue. And the strawberry, as I mentioned, just terrific. Now here's an interesting one that we should cover real quick. Best football playing guest.
Mm.
We had Bucky Brooks as done yeoman.
Well, they're not football. He's not a football player.
Well, he was.
It doesn't matter. But traditionally, this category has been an actual Steve Smith. It's been Terrence Newman.
I'm sorry.
It's been Ike
Former football player. Bucky, Nate, Michael Robinson, I think, are the only three really that would be in the running here, right?
You're right. And so then you've got to look at, is Bucky going to probably land the best DDFP regular guest?
Ah.
So it's a little bit like the MVP is never normally also the offensive player of the year. It's essentially that crossover.
The difference between lead actor
right.
and supporting.
Exactly.
Right.
So I think then you're probably looking at Ike or Mike. Mike and Ike.
Who's your vote?
I'm going with Ike.
Ike now counts as so he's a.
But maybe when
player.
Jarvis Landry and Greg Jennings come in here, they'll put down a challenge that.
And who has then been our best football playing guest current?
Calais
I enjoyed Shane Vereen a lot.
Vereen,
Calais
really
Campbell
fun.
is a swell fella
Shane
always.
Vereen spoke about Katy Perry and all that. You know, just
Honey Badger.
Honey Badger was good. That's a tough one.
Tommy Ty, have you enjoyed any of our guests this year?
I thought Antonio Brown was swell.
Oh, that's right.
Antonio Brown. Yeah, he played a prank on us. I didn't care for
that. That was great.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That almost put him in the winning spot. You're right.
Yeah, completely in the lead.
Hmm. Right. All right.
Oh, David Garrard is also a former football playing guest who was pretty
good. Oh, yeah. Garrard was terrific. And what's the best movie that you've seen this year, Handsome?
I watched one of the other ones I've watched recently over last weekend outside of the Jurassic Parks. I found it on my DirecTV list. I'd recorded it, back in October last year. It was during the NFL season. I saw it was on. I thought, I'll have that. I must have scrolled past it a million times, and then I realized I had Top Gun saved
on my
DVR. Top Gun has not aged. Top Gun is still, one of the three best movies of all time. and the performances in there are outstanding. Val Kilmer once again knocks it out of the park. I've probably watched the movie, I would say 50 to 70 times, somewhere in that
region.
He
is dynamite.
Val Kilmer it's perfection.
And Goose.
Goose is fine. Cruise is a little bit smarmy as usual.
Cruisy.
But Val Kilmer steals the show.
The best movie I've seen in 2015, mm-hmm. and of course this isn't a movie released in 2015 necessarily, it's just one that I've watched in the calendar year. I'll tell you, it's an underrated comedy gem of the 21st century, Talladega Nights. That's the funniest. I don't get this, because I see Wedding Crashers on all the time, and I watch that, and I think, this is hysterical to people? It's fine.
It's funny. That Wedding Crashers is funny, but I'm with you. Talladega Nights, it's funnier.
What's funny is the first 15 or 20 minutes of Wedding Crashers. After that,
it gets a little...
It gets meandering, and what do I care about? This is a silly comedy, but I'm supposed to invest in the love story. Couldn't care less. The Talladega Nights is hysterical and funnier than... I don't know about Old School. Old School's pretty good, but I, you know what? I'll put Talladega. You know what? Come to think of it, I don't need to think about it. Talladega Nights is better than Old School, and the other one is, The Hangover. It's Talladega Nights funnier than any of those. Agree, Tommy Ty? You're nodding with approval.
It's close. It's close. Old School, and that's up there in the annuals of comedies, but. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'd say it's up there.
From front to back,
you're right. From front to back, there's not a single part in that movie where you're not laughing.
Tommy Todd, by the way, is the producer you guys want who has seen every movie in like the last 50 years, despite him being like 21 years old.
What's your favorite comedy of all time? Have you seen The In-Laws?
Yeah.
Not the lame one with Michael Douglas.
No.
You've seen the Peter Falk and Alan Arkin classic?
Yeah, I was a film studies minor. So
that's my favorite comedy of all time. It's the funniest movie that I've ever seen.
You're going to hate this, but personally for me, Billy Madison, favorite comedy of all time.
I don't hate that. I definitely think it's
that's just me personally. Growing up, I watched that comedy more than any other.
I thought that movie was certainly funnier than Happy Gilmore. So,
I like Happy Gilmore too.
Yes, Black Tie.
Favorite movie I've seen, or best movie I've seen this year, as you guys know, during the NCAA championship, I went back and watched a bunch of the movies I've never seen, and Godfather, by far the best movie I've seen this year.
We've done some good work here.
Hank. We have.
We've improved.
Still haven't seen two, but I will get to it. Maybe this weekend I'll get to it.
There you go. All right, listen, I think we can wrap it up here, and I think this was a good campaign.
I think it was fun. Here's what I would say is to everyone who is still with us, thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah. No, but I also think, again, it's holiday weekend. You're hanging around doing your chores, getting some barbecue done. Like, yeah, just play this in the background.
You didn't have to talk hardcore football. When we come back, we'll be refreshed from a couple days off, and it will legitimately be time to start really shaping things up and getting focused.
Well, it's July.
Right.
It's training camp's a couple weeks away.
Don't hurry us along with the Yum Nub song. All right. Once I hear it, I get drunk with excitement and promise of good times. Enjoy Independence Day. We'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce later on. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. This slice of heaven.